Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text for today's message is taken from John chapter 9. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said these things, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Jesus heard later that they had cast him out, and having found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir?" Someone get me a glass of water, please. "And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." He said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshipped him. And Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may become blind." So far the text. Dear friends in Christ, there's a lot in this text, in this gospel text, that we could preach on. Thank you very much. I could really preach on if I could speak, too, right? So, lots of different, I mean, I could preach six sermons on this. There's so much in here. But I want to focus on one thing in particular. And we can kind of see it in the barriers that are put up in front of Jesus when dealing with this blind man that come from, as I said earlier, an expected area and an unexpected. Now, the expected area, of course, is the Pharisees. They don't like Jesus anyway, never have. At this point in Jesus' ministry, it's getting to the point where they are deciding that he has to die. It's the only way we can take care of him. And they really hate him because of the things he says and the things he does. Now, one of the things he said previous to this that really set him off is when he said, "Before Abraham was, I am." And the word for "I am" in Hebrew is Yahweh, which is God's name. So basically, Jesus is saying, "Before Abraham, I am, and by the way, I'm also God." So that really bothered them. Now, in this text, he says, "I'm the light," not just the light for people, "I'm the light of the entire world." That's something they can't accept. Also, the things he did. And here he actually does two things that really make them angry at him. Both things, in their opinion, break the Sabbath law. Number one, he heals the guy on the Sabbath. Keeping in mind, that's just the way they viewed the Sabbath law. It's not the way God viewed it. Not healing people is nowhere in the Old Testament. But the second thing is easy to miss is the kind of bizarre way that Jesus heals the guy. He spits in the ground, right? So he spits on this dirt, makes mud, and then puts the mud on his eyes and tells him to go wash up. Now, he does that for a specific reason, because according to the Pharisees, that's breaking the Sabbath law. Because by mixing spit with dirt, he's actually creating clay, and he's in the process of doing a building project. That's how far they had gone with the Sabbath law. So he does both of these things on purpose, okay, to set them off, and it certainly does. And there's a lot of pushback against Jesus from the Pharisees. But then again, there's an obstacle right here with the disciples. And it has to do with this blind man. It's interesting to see that it says Jesus noticed the blind man first. No one was really paying attention to him except Jesus. So he notices him first, but then the disciples now are going to use the blind man. And they do it in a very callous way. They say, you know, "Who sinned that this guy's blind? Is he blind from birth because he sinned in the womb, or is he blind from birth because his parents sinned?" Very callous thing to do. Instead of showing any empathy for this guy and saying, "Hey, Jesus, could you heal him?" they are using him as an object lesson. Okay? They have just made him a thing to be talked about. And why would the disciples act that way? Well, number one, because he has a disability, because he's different, because in their opinion he's a little off, and they want to stay as far away from him as possible. They want to find out how they can maintain their lives with sight, because they don't want to lose their eyes. So how did this guy lose his sight? That's what the disciples are doing. Now let's understand very clearly, that is certainly not the way God thinks about things or about people. After all, God is the one who creates people, and God is the one who gives worth to people. He created life, and he gives worth to life. And he's not asking our opinion on who we think are worthy or not. And we especially see that in how he deals with this situation. So the disciples said, well, whose sin is responsible for this man's blindness? Is it the blind man or is it his parents? And Jesus basically says the cause of his blindness doesn't matter at all. And he says what? It's not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. In other words, stop worrying about the cause of his blindness. Let's look at the purpose of his blindness. And sometimes bad things, bad causes can actually bring about a good purpose. Like a number of years ago, back when I drank coffee, which I don't anymore, but back then, my morning always began the same way, and I'd wake up like, 3:30, make my first pot of coffee. I'd be working on the second pot around 10 in the morning, but the first pot, that was the important one. And I'd go, especially on Sunday mornings, because I'm, memorizing my sermons. And so I'd go out there and automatically make the coffee. I'd done it so many times, I knew exactly what to do. And so I'd, put the coffee in the Keurig thing and put the water in, turn it on, and then go and start working on my sermon. I was so focused on my sermon that I didn't hear what was going on. And there was subconsciously, I must have heard some strange sound or something, like dripping sound. And all of a sudden I got up and I went in the kitchen, turned the light on, and there was coffee everywhere. Okay. And so I had put the coffee into the filter and put it in the drip basket, and I put the water in, I turned it on, done everything right except for putting the coffee pot underneath the drip pan, right? So I don't know if you've ever done that before. It makes a big mess. The whole thing overflows. Now, as I was cleaning that up, I was asking myself, why? Why did this happen? Just dumb, or wasn't I paying attention, or was I focusing too much on my why? And obviously why was easy and obvious to understand. Believe it or not, it served a purpose. Two positive purposes. Number one, I learned how to take apart a very complicated Keurig machine piece by piece and put it back together. I never knew how to do that before. Now I know. And number two, I have a sermon illustration today. See, that worked. Okay, but you see, there was a cause. That wasn't the important part. The purpose that came from this, okay, that was good. And that's what Jesus is saying here. He says, the cause, stop worrying about, but this is the purpose. And this gets a little confusing at the end. He says, for judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may become blind. Now that seems a little confusing, because not too many verses after this, Jesus says, I didn't come into the world to condemn the world, I came to save the world. So how is this not contradictory? Jesus' primary reason for coming and purpose was to save the world. But when that is rejected, there is condemnation. It's like a coin that has two sides, a negative side and a positive side. And both are always going to happen. It's like if a man had an infection in his arm, and by the time he got to the doctor, it was so serious that it was going to spread into the rest of his body and kill him. And the doctor decided he had to have an amputation. And as the man was on the operating table just before he was put out for good, the surgeon came in, and the man, under a little bit of anesthesia, said to him, "Are you here to take my arm?" And the surgeon said, "No, I'm here to save your life." See, both are true, and both are necessary. When Jesus came into the world, he spoke the truth, despite what people thought about it. He said, before Abraham was, I am. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father if not through me. He said in this text, I am the light of the world. And he says, now follow me. And the Pharisees who rejected that condemned themselves. And it led to greater sin. They start saying that Jesus is a sinner, and when he heals people, they say he's doing it by the power of Satan. After this text in verses 40 and 41, there's an interesting interchange between the Pharisees and Jesus. The Pharisees say, are you saying we're blind too? And they're not speaking physically, they're talking spiritually. Are you saying we're blind too? Because if Jesus says yes, then hey, guess what? You can't, if we're blind spiritually, you can't blame us, because you can't blame a blind person if they can't see. But what's interesting is what Jesus says. He goes, no, you're not condemned because you're blind. You're condemned because you say you can see. That's the important thing. They thought they could see themselves perfectly, that they were righteous, that they were worthy of God's love, that they were worthy to be called children of God. That's what they saw, but they couldn't see anything. They couldn't see God, they couldn't see their sin, and they certainly couldn't see the solution that God had sent for their sin standing right in front of them. Now, the flip side of that coin is salvation. And we see that in this man who was healed. And you see that it's a process. His faith is growing. In verse 5 of that chapter 9, he calls Jesus a man. In verse 17, he calls him a prophet. At the very end, he calls him his Lord, and it says he believes in him. This is the transformation that takes place in salvation. And it's our transformation as well. What's amazing about this man is, like all of us, he can't see what God has really planned in his life. He couldn't see how his blindness could serve any purpose except for his suffering and for the suffering of his parents, a suffering that seemed to never end. He couldn't see that someday a Savior would come that would heal him from that and heal him and give him a spiritual sight that he had never had before. He couldn't see any of those things. He certainly couldn't see the fact that 2,000 years later, millions of Christians around the world are going to be talking about him. That would have blown his mind. He couldn't see any of these things. But on this day, he saw the Savior who healed him. And the Holy Spirit gave him the faith to trust and believe in him. And it changed his life. I pray that the Lord, who has saved us by his Son, Jesus Christ, might give us better vision every day to see him more clearly, and also, just as importantly, to see all the people in our lives around us, even those who aren't like us, to see them, how God sees them, that they are worthy, that they are valued by him, valued enough to send his Son who died for each and every person we've ever met in this world. I pray that the Lord help us see that and live according to that. In Jesus' name, amen.